just so you kind of get that picture, think about how you do it. So, and I kind of landed on, it's really more the pioneer. It's like, that's how I deliver. So your one deliverable is what you get from the spiritual life purpose point, and your third chakra delivers.
Riz, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So I read in the Eastern Mind, Western Body about chakra 3, and it said that if it's chakra 3 excessive, as in my case, chakra 2, chakra 4, and chakra 5 would be much smaller and deficient. So I was curious, why is that? And that is there any solution?
Is there any solution? First of all, don't believe everything you read. Just absorb what you're reading, Hannah. It's not a fact. It's, and then she goes on to say something totally different about the chakra and a deeper thing. And a deeper, so don't get caught. You have a tendency to get caught on an idea. And then it's like, well, if she says that's true, and then that means that all the other chakras, we're teaching you at a level. So as great as Anna Day Judith is, she's like 5% of what you need to learn to understand what it's like to have an entire energy body, which is what we're teaching you. So yes, it's, if you have a chakra that's blocked, you know, a lower chakra that's blocked and energy can't come up, oftentimes there are issues with the upper chakras. And oftentimes the upper chakras can't come down to the lower chakras, and there's different things. But she has that little chart there where she shows you that if this chakra is big, this one's going to be smaller, and then that one will be bigger, and this will be smaller. And sometimes she's right. But I would look more at, if you're a charismatic leader, there's no rhyme or reason for how your chakras work, other than you're going to have a big fifth chakra, a troublemaking third chakra, a troublemaking second chakra, and they can be excessive and deficient in the same 5 minutes. Okay. And so what she neglects in there is to understand that there are profiles, there are energies, there are people that have both excessive and deficient in the same chakra, depending upon what vow they're serving. But she doesn't have vows or freedom statements or archetypes, or she does use the profiles a little bit, but she uses them in this much more general psychological sense. And if there's anything I can tell you, is that psychology will never teach you who you are. It is based on behavior, not energy. And even though Anna Day Judith is all about energy, she's got a psychological foundation. And so they try to extrapolate a theory out of it, rather than saying, okay, what is the energy actually saying? And listen, Anna Day is one of the most brilliant, brilliant healers and energy people out there. And she still gets caught in the same thing that all healers get caught in. And where we're really looking at sort of like, if our foundation is this vertical line of energy, which has this either like a soul that says it's either going to be a leader or a achiever or a caretaker or a deep feeler or a creative person. And then that has some of each of all the other ones in there, and they all blend together. And you realize that this idea of excessive and deficient chakra is to make, I'm teaching it to you, not as a hard fact, but as a recognition that you have very specific kinds of energy that you channel in there. And what'll be very interesting for you is that if you have a charismatic leader, okay, in your second chakra, you sometimes are going to be incredibly emotionally aggressive and, you know, overbearing. And then you also have the secondary quality in there, which you have, which is the creative idealist, means that sometimes you are so dissociated, you're not having any feelings at all. Now, which is true? It's only true based on the profile, not on the behavior. So the excessive and deficient chakras create behaviors that we can recognize that create imbalances in our lives. And we want to bring balance to those. That's what healing is. But why it happens is because of the profiles of the deeper soul qualities within us. Does that make sense, Hannah?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I read that book 10 times over. The first copy I had literally every line in it underlined in a different color. Okay. 10 times. And I was like, you know, this is the gospel. And then I realized that just like everything else I've done, it had a limitation to it. It got caught in the chakra world, and the chakras are only the result of something much greater, which she doesn't even talk about. She doesn't talk about the life purpose line. She doesn't talk about, you know, she doesn't understand those physical life purpose points, spiritual life purpose points. She doesn't understand those. She doesn't talk about the soul quality. Doesn't talk about the inner, you know, the pineal gland. She doesn't talk about any of that stuff, which comes before the chakras. So, if you start with the chakras, you're literally learning about life in midair, right? There's no grounds. There's no legs underneath it. Even though the level she studied, the 5,000 books she read about chakras to build that, to create that tone of truth about chakras, she's not wrong. She just can't get you home through it, which is kind of weird with all that work. Because home is not the chakras. Chakras are still the problem. Home is the life purpose line and the soul level. And, you know, that's why I use all these other healers to show you that there's this huge body of work being done. The body, the healings, the chakras. I mean, so much information out there. But if you want to bring it all the way home, you got to get to the next levels. Level 3 and 4 is where it's got to happen. Does that help, Hannah?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's totally fine for Anna Dea Judith to be right and not done.
I have a question. When did you send out the 30-page spiritual life purpose document?
Oh, I didn't send it to you, Judy.
Oh, everybody else got it, but not me.
Everybody else got it, but you. Yeah. No, I think Lisa's.
Hold on, I'm trying to listen to what day it was. Yeah, I'm trying to find
it. It was about a week ago, maybe?
Oh, okay, yeah, well, maybe I just missed it.
Yeah, take a look back or text or send Lisa an email. Okay. Or actually ask any of your classmates. They all have it and they can forward it to you.
Okay.
It was Monday at 7:45 a.m. PST.
Okay, I'll go.
That's where it says I got it.
From Lisa or from Reese?
It came from Reese Thomas. It says Reese Thomas on my, okay. Yeah. Really? And it has LMT at the beginning.
Okay.
In the subject.
Yeah. Look that up. If Judy, if you ever don't get something, you can just email me too. Just Reese Thomas Institute. And I know where these things are too.
Okay.
So. Anybody else? Before we do the healing, we should probably do the healing. Yes.
So if you can keep it short, the one chakra per archetype. One archetype per chakra, because when you start with Carolyn Mace, right? She's like, you have 12 and you have 12 and you just learn your 12 and then you work with them. And she's not wrong, right? That's not wrong, but
not wrong. You got a million archetypes in there, but they're not as random as she says they are. She had all that brilliance and didn't have the profiles. So she had nowhere to put them. So the closest thing she could find was the zodiac, and she just went for it because there's 12 energy centers and she decided that there were 12. But even when you listen to her story about it, it's like, that doesn't really work. And then really I can literally just take these cards and throw them on the deck. And that's who I am. How can that be true? You know? And so, you know, that's good for drawing a card every day and sort of looking and seeing what the universe is sort of telling you today. But if you really want your whole, like the real deal, you have to work it through yourself. There's no sort of like lucky card day, right? It's like, these are your cards. You were born with them and you can't get rid of them. They're stuck to your forehead. So the one profile in each one. So I really think it comes down to how many charismatic leaders we have in the room. And the basic statement, which is, don't tell me who I am, is a real tough one. Okay. That's the struggle of the one archetype in there. So I want you to, even if you're a charismatic leader, I want you to look at it this way. You need to, at this point, as you get to each of the chakras, you're going through all the chakras and you're kind of like trying to guess where they are. Maybe you're getting together and you all ought to be getting together and doing archetype, you know, fun, you know, and, you know, what do you think goes in here? And everybody throws their best at you. And then you have to kind of think about that, see how other people see you, you know, think about how you've been your whole life. The key is, what did you do? What was your emotional life like when you were 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40? Okay. Then go back and say, what did I act like? Who was this person who stood up at 3, 5, 7, 10? It'll be there your whole life. That's one thing. The second thing is that because we've been so brainwashed to see ourselves as somebody that we aren't, it's very difficult sometimes to see our own things. So what you want to do is you want to just pick one for now, charismatic leaders, for now. Okay. Not forever, for now. And then watch it this month, because the key with an archetype is that you don't do it sometimes. When you have an archetype in a chakra, it talks to you 20 times a day or more. It is not just like, oh, gee, I used to do that when I was 14. Yes, I'll put the queen in my third chakra. Yeah, that's how I'll do it, because I played queen in a pageant one time. If you're a queen, you have been off with their heads and you've got minions all around you serving you constantly. If you've got queen archetype, okay. You know, if you've got goddess archetype, there are men and women and children and dogs and creatures of all kinds throwing themselves at you to just serve you, to just give you anything. Okay. And if you don't have that, you don't have that archetype, but you won't know that until you stick it in there and then read about the archetype, study that archetype, and then ask yourself, how often today did that archetype show up? And this is why it's nice that we do it over a whole year, right? That you're doing this. So you pick something for your third chakra. You got now another week to watch it. So my pioneer, I can tell you that every day my third chakra pioneer is pioneering something new every day, multiple, so many times a day that I can't even remember all the things I'm doing at, you know, right now. Cause I'm like, I'm building a member site. I'm trying to change the way we teach the lower self and the higher self. And all of these things are things that no one else has ever done before. It's not that nobody's taught lower self or higher self, or nobody's, you know, ran a school or, you know, done, you know, whatever, or run a member site. But the way I'm going to do it, nobody. And so I can see, okay, that makes sense. But if you're, you know, if you put pioneer in your third chakra and you're like, yeah, when I was 12, I had a lemonade stand. It's not happening, right? You can quickly just sort of toss that one in the back of the car. You know, what are you doing all day long? What is that thing that you just push yourself to do all the time? What kind of energy have you got? Does that make sense? So yeah, it won't matter. You know, just pick one that you think is close, or that at least other people agree that that might be in there, and then watch your life. And again, this is what the course is about. The course isn't about getting a cute chart. The course is about knowing who you are, right? If that archetype makes you study yourself a little bit more every day, that's your spiritual practice. And then you start realizing, oh, I don't have no idea whether that archetype's right or not, but boy, I found this about myself just watching what I do all day. Does that make sense? So that's the one in, one out. No, don't let your charismatic leader say, I have to know exactly which one it is before I put it in there. Put anyone in there and then try it out and see how often you do it. And then ask yourself, I do that all day long, but it's really not my third chakra. It's really my relationships I do that in, you know, or it's really, you know, how I sort of organize things in my brain, you know, and then you'll realize, oh, I do have that one, but it's not in that chakra. Because third chakra would be, I take action on it, action, 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 action. Can't stop. I do this thing over and over and over. I'm banging my head against the wall sometimes, and sometimes I actually break through, you know, and that's what's in your third chakra. Your third chakra is unstoppably doing something, which could be nothing, right? You could be like unstoppably watching TV, right? It's like I'm, you know, I got the lazy ass in my third chakra. Great archetype. If you got that, you know, own it and then move on. Go to the next chakra. All right. So let's go. Anything else, Ray?
Mm-mm. Nope. That was great. Thank you.
Or Diane, anybody, or any other teacher that's on here?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Okay, so now the stress relieving healing, which I could probably use one right now. Actually, I always get all wired up when I'm teaching, so I don't. I'm doing all this. So the key. Has everybody read it, or you want me to just sort of start from scratch, just kind of go over the basics and then from scratch. Hmm?
From scratch.
Okay, so basically we have an endocrine system in our body that it manages all of our hormones, which are basically our experience of life, right? And then there are these master glands in the head, the pineal gland, the pituitary, the hypothalamus, and these guys, they're the, when they, like when you have a thought that says, wow, that pizza looks good, there are hormones that come right down through your body and make your stomach start growling and your mouth start watering and your whole, and you experience pizza. It's like, and you have that, and it's like, and your hormones are doing that in everything, right? Your brain says, I hate that asshole. And you're feeling your hands getting tight. You've got your back tightening up. Your jaw is getting like this. You're clenching your teeth. And you don't even notice that your whole body becomes your thoughts. Okay. Now, the loudest thought in the brain runs your endocrine system. The problem is that the loudest thoughts in your brain are your vows. And your vows are based on a massive, cataclysmic trauma where you had to choose between being you and your truth and your heart and your love of yourself and who you actually are, and being somebody that you're not, or hiding, or not wanting to get hit again, or, you know, and then making a vow to never do what gets you hit again, or always be the good girl, or all whatever that insanity was that we had to pick to get along in the world. And those vows, when they happen, they literally, it's when you made a vow, it's the worst thing that ever happened to you. So there's nothing worse than being your soul, knowing you're your soul, and having it directly rejected. Okay. There's nothing more painful than that. And when you're faced with literally life or death of your soul, the child can't tell the difference between whether it's the soul, the ego, or the body. This is life or death. And in life or death situations, the adrenals are the fight or flight, life or death, survive or die, run or fight, you know, elements within you. And so connected to every one of your vows are your adrenals, your adrenal glands, which are the last moment before you die in a fight or in the world. You know, you're being chased by a bear and you're running like crazy. Those adrenals are just going, come on. And they are just pumping adrenaline into your body so you can be faster than that bear. When you are running your life based on vows and, when I talk to you about what do I always say? What's the emotion that comes up when you challenge a vow? When you say, I've always put my family first. And then the very first time you're like, fuck my family, I'm going to do what I want to do. What do you feel inside emotionally when that happens?
Guilt.
Guilt, yep. And what's the other one?
Shame.
Fear? Oh, shame. Guilt and shame. Yes, and they're all based on fear and the inability to manage healthy anger. But guilt and shame, this like there's this, I'm somehow don't exist. I don't deserve to exist because I've now done this thing. And so when the child gets this, this is this Super Bowl moment. And in that moment, that's when the adrenals fire and they can't go anywhere because you're the bad one. And you just turn them against yourself. And this is where most severe illnesses, many, many severe illnesses come from. So in the, so the adrenals, so long-term chronic stress, unresolved traumas from the past, acute traumatic events, job loss, divorce, death, violence, war, poverty, health crisis, all of these things can create these, but the primary ones are going to be the, the vows that you made as a child. Okay. I don't know why Stephanie is Stephanie highlighted on my screen? Is she highlighted on everybody's screen? Maybe not. No, just here. Hi, Stephanie. You've been highlighted on my screen. I'll go back to gallery. So the cool thing about the endocrine system is that even though we tend to only use the pituitary and hypothalamus linked to a hypervigilant brain that's trying to protect you from an evil world and a dangerous world, which, by the way, it is, and it sucks, and we have to deal with that. But we actually have a system that can handle that. Okay, our system is not designed to let those two, like your brain, which should never be in charge of anything, and those two glands, the pineal gland or the hypothalamus and the pituitary, that totally link and link right down to the adrenals, where you're at the grocery store, right? And you're just checking out and someone bumps your cart, right? And you notice they're not wearing their fucking mask. And you're like, and then you flip out and it's like, they bumped your fucking card. And you're like, I beg your pardon, or whatever you say that means that you're not actually angry. And or something happens, or somebody says something, and or your mom calls and says, "Really? You're gonna do that? I told you that shouldn't, that would never work," or whatever. And you're like, and you flip. Those are your adrenals going off for zero reason. You have now run adrenaline through your whole fight or flight. I am a bad person. This is a bad person. I'm a bad person. There's all this thing. So that is a broken system. And that is how most people run their energy. They're fine until they're not. And then they're a freak show. Right? Simple.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the cool thing about the endocrine system is actually that it creates thousands of different hormones, hundreds of thousands of different hormones, based on what's actually happening in the present moment, so we can have a fully enriched experience of life. That's what our hormones are supposed to do. They're supposed to feed us and call us and pull us and recognize what's good for us, what's not good for us, how we then dance with all of that in our lives. That's what they're for. And it starts actually with the pineal gland. And so actually we'll run them backward because this is where the healing goes. So the last resort, the fight or flight, life or death, are the adrenals. The testicles and the ovaries, so the gonads, are sort of like the, like when someone says, "You got a lot of cojones," they're the fight in you. Okay. They are the literally, like, you are at that level, you are literally wrestling with the world. And so when it's good, it's called sex. When it's bad, it's called mugging, right? Okay. So you are literally in a physical, now in positive and negative, right? So, I mean, and by the way, the adrenals, when they fire and you're a martial arts master, and they fire because there's a knife that's this close to you, you just go, "Oh, not today." And you turn the knife back on them and they kill themselves. And those adrenals are very healthful, right? But they came up for a reason, because you were about to get killed and you needed them to have the power to survive, right? And just like we talked about the sexual glands are creating this sexual pleasure or this battle, it's like the second chakra. It's even though the adrenals are up here over the kidneys, they're first chakra. They're the fight or die. Second chakra is the dance, and it can be a wonderful dance, or it can just be you are literally trying to strangle each other. And then we move up to the pancreas, and in your sheet, I don't know why I have to change it. I couldn't change it because it was a PDF. It says spleen. It's really the pancreas that we're after there. The spleen does have a play in this, but it's the pancreas that's there. And so, and that's third chakra. So now we're moving from one to two to three. Third chakra, the pancreas, is a organ that deals with sweetness of life, right? Or bitterness. And so you start recognizing that sometimes you feel the sweetness of a relationship and a connection and actions that are, you know, are nice, and you absorb them, you eat them in there, and you let them in. And sometimes it's just like, this is just bitter. It's like there's just bitter people doing bitter things in petty ways, and you feel that in that center, and that center deals with that. And that center either says no, third chakra, wall, done, or I love this. Let's do more of this. Let's play more. Okay. But not, no contact there, just choice, right? And then the next major gland is going to be the hypothalamus, the thymus, not the thyroid, thymus, And the thymus is this little gland that's above the heart that's actually huge when you're a child. And for most people, by the time they're adults, it's like this shriveled little nothing. And it's actually, when it's healthy in adults, it's much larger. Okay. It's not supposed to shrink down and shrivel, but it's the gland that allows you to feel the importance of love and relationship and that, or hatred. It's like, it does that. And the more hatred it focuses on, the more shriveled up it gets, as far as I can tell. And the more it spends time loving and seeing love in the world and living through that, the more it stays open and healthy. So the thymus is where a fourth chakra, that's the system that creates what's the neurotransmitter in the heart? But it brings like more blood to the area. It's like love. It's connecting. It's the one that loves to connect. Oxytocin. Yeah. Oxytocin. It creates, so it's part of the oxytocin system. But it's also like when you're a kid, you love people just for people, just, you know, whereas when you're an adult, you love them because they do something for you. You know, you love them because they behave a certain way, and that's not really love. And it really has a lot to do with your immune system too, you know, and your health and your longevity and all that stuff. So anyway, that's that one. So that was fifth chakra now is the thyroid. Okay. And amazingly, in a world where we have like five people that run the world and everybody else are slaves, thyroid disease is the number one disease in the world. Number one disease in the world is thyroid disease, whether it be excessive, whether it be the Hashimoto's or the, you know, the hypo or hyper, doesn't matter. When you can't speak your truth, when you can't share and set like a boundary or set, this is what I am and do. And, you know, this is this like connection point, this openness in here. So this creates this opening in here to share, to sort of like to connect through our vibration. And again, above the third chakra, this is non-touch. We can have conflict with people, and we're not ever like, it's not until you get the second chakra and the adrenals that you're actually in a fight with somebody or having a street battle of some kind. Everything else is just boundaries, connection, you know, speaking. Okay. And this is in a healthy way can say, I love you, or it can say, you're such a dick. And either way, you know, that creates a whole set of experiences of life, right? And so then we get from the fifth chakra up to, now we get up to the
pineal.
No, the I think it's hypothalamus, and then the hypothalamus. Oh God, it's too late. Now it's the 3 o'clock in the morning.
Pituitary pineal, okay. Which one comes first?
So it's hypothalamus, it's pineal, pituitary. Right. So it's the hypothalamus and you can break up those three as well, and you can do them individually as well when you're doing this healing, but we're just gonna do them all together. But basically the hypothalamus manages your emotional state. Your pituitary manages your physical presence and state. And then your pineal manages your consciousness. And when they are blocked or they're skipped over, they don't do any of those things. So all of this rich emotional sensitivity that you have is coming from the hypothalamus. The pituitary manages more like the basic functions. You know, so I let, you know, time to run, time to hug, time to, you know, time to connect, time to high five, time to, you know, how are you? It's the body. And then the pineal connects you to wit, to sort of like, it connects the brain to ideas that are coming not from memory and vows and all these idiotic things that we do with our brain, but are coming from the universe. They're literally like we are connected to the present moment. And so when we're connected to the present moment, the system works like this. Something happens. Okay. And then I'll, and really basically this is the healing itself. So I'm not even going to demonstrate the healing. Okay. Cause you're going to demonstrate it over the weekend. What you're going to be doing is you're going to be going through that system. And you're going to take, and you're going to go, and you're going to put your hands on the belly over the adrenals. And you're going to feel how those things are like wired. The two adrenals are like hardwired together with a wire, and they are constantly on edge. They're going to be like shaking when you're the average person who is like, I'm fine, has adrenals that are this close to going over the edge. And so you're going to start by just calming those suckers down. And by the way, you can all do this on yourself tonight. Okay. You just hold your hands over your adrenals and feel them, and then separate them. They don't belong together. One of them deals with feminine issues, you know, of survival, and the other one deals with masculine issues of survival. And they don't, it's not just one big battle. It's like each one may have to deal with something individually. They need to be separated. And so then you're just going to hold them apart. And then you're going to hold one hand right there and just keep them apart. Just like, just say, okay, children. And you can surround them with beautiful golden light or white light or rainbow light. Just give them some loving, you know, green light, whatever you want to do. Just put some light around them and support them. And then what you're going to do is you're going to hold that there, and then you're going to put your hand down. And obviously if you're working on yourself, you can actually reach into your crotch, but if you're working on someone else, you're going to have your hand down between the knees, and you're going to, then bring the consciousness of the, either the testes or the ovaries into the hand. Now, if you're working on a woman and you want to, just like we do the, whatever that other healing is that we do, the fertility healing. You can put one hand over each of the ovaries if you want, or you can just put your hands between the knees and hold. But what you're going to be doing at that point is you're going to be consciously either using one of your tools, a pair of scissors or a knife or whatever, and cutting, or just what I do is I just separate them. It's just like snap, because there's a wire. Think about, you have a wire connecting all of these glands right to the adrenals. So none of them actually ever get to weigh in on anything. You skip all of the subtlety of life and you go right to crazy. Okay. Which is what you're supposed to be in the adrenals. You're supposed to be fight or flight, whatever you got to do, bite them, kick them, anything. Shoot them, stab them, whatever you got to do to survive is what happens there. All right. So now you've got these separated, and you're going to keep your hands on the adrenals. And sometimes when you're working back up, you change hands, but you're always going to keep one hand on the adrenals. The next hand's going to go over the pancreas. Okay. Which is right here, left rib, just below the rib. And again, you're just going to picture that you're literally snapping that wire. These are wired, like you had an electrician hardwire those things to each other. And you're snapping that wire, and then you're just going to surround it with, just like they did with the adrenals and the ovaries. You know, you're just going to hold that pancreas and just say, "I love you," and you're sweet and you're, you know, adorable and you're my friend. Okay, and you're free now. Okay, and then you're going to go to the thymus, and you're going to do the same thing. And you're going to break that wire consciously, or if you want to, you know, get a scissors and snap it, that's fine. But you're separating them, and then you're going to fill it with some energy. Okay. And then you're going to go to the thyroid, do the same thing. And then you're going to go to the three glands. You just picture that there's three glands up there, and they all are basically acting as the mind, okay, for now. Later on, you can separate them and really feel the difference between them. But for right now, just you got all three of those, okay? And then once you've separated the thyroid and the three glands, what you're going to be doing is you're going to then just let that go out the crown of the head. Okay, so all of that sort of, you know, pattern in your body, just let it go out of your head. Then what you're going to do is you're going to go the other way. Okay. And you're going to now what you've done is you've freed the body up to be normal. And the first thing you want to do when you've actually broken everything up is just lay there and realize, oh my God, I'm not actually doing anything. As long as the adrenals are hooked into your body, you are a constant doer. You can't stop doing something, thinking, acting, this, emotions. These emotions are happening all the time because the adrenals are always shaking, you know, making you go to that vow kind of a stuff. Whereas when you break all the stuff up, you're like, wow, I'm just totally relaxed. Then now when you're relaxed like that and the system's open, if a stress comes into your life, okay? So let's say, you know, you're at home. I mean, we're going to use an example right now that will lead to a negative example because I want to go through I want to go through how these would work. But I want you to realize that. So if you're at home, you're just by yourself and you're at home and there's a knock on the door. And so it comes in through the crown. So this awareness, this vibration, this knock on the door, which means nothing to you, to the adrenals, it's like, oh my God, it's the criminal I heard about on the cop radio, right? It's like, oh my God, you know, and you're already worried that there's a murderer out there before you even put down your tea, right? So, but if you're free, you're like, oh, noise. And then your brain says, oh yeah, that's Amazon. I don't even have to go. and you realize that you and this thing are one consciousness in the world. Okay. And you're like, huh, me and Amazon, we have a beautiful spiritual relationship. Okay. And then you go right back to being at peace. Because that's what the pineal does when it realizes that that you are one with something in the universe and there's nothing to be done. You don't have to fix anything. There's nothing to be done. You just go back into it. It's like, great. Okay. Now the person then knocks louder on the door. Okay. And then your brain says, oh, maybe it's not Amazon. Okay. And then you go to the door. And you walk over the door and you realize, oh, I designed for this. That was why. Okay. And so then now now we've moved into physical action, but you weren't thinking anything at all. You were just walking over the door and when you opened it, the person wanted you to sign something. You was like, oh, sign something. Great. And so then you close the door and you go back and you go back to your tea and you're still at peace. There's like no like, oh my God, that person reminded me of my uncle, you know, who yelled at me or you, none of that. It's just boom. It was an event and you dealt with it. And so then, and then if you were there and you opened that door, that time you walked over and you opened the door and the person's like, you got to sign this right now. I've been here three times already. And, you know, and I need you to, I mean, don't waste my time. I'm trying to deliver 20 packages. So now we hit the brain of the emotions. And so the hypothalamus, so the pituitary said, I'll walk over there. I'll do this, comes back. You got over there and now it wasn't as easy as just signing something. It was an emotional issue. And the brain can easily say, and that can say, oh, you're having a rough day here. Let me give you, I've got these great cookies. let me give you a cookie and, you know, and let me give you a hug because it just seems like you're having a really rough day. Okay. And actually that actually isn't a good example because that's a touch. We're not to touch yet. You just say, you just tell the person how much you appreciate him. You know, it's that he's always your guy and you're sorry that you weren't there and you just sort of, you know, you feel your way through that and then that whole thing and he wanders off and that goes and you go back to balance. Now, on the other hand, if he starts berating you, okay, and it turns out that he wasn't, you know, he was a neighbor who didn't like the way you parked your car, you know, or something, or, you know, was angry at the way your sprinklers are working. And all of a sudden he's like, you know, it's like, it's verbal. He's starting to verbally abuse. Okay. And at that point, you then need to say, you need to stop. Like the fifth chakra has to, so now we're going to fill our body with a stronger emotion, which is, I don't really appreciate being talked to that way, you know, and then you explain yourself. The upper chakras are totally open to, you know, I can totally understand that you're upset about this or that, you know, let's solve this way. And if you can solve the issue with words and with your presence and, you know, and you're not lost in it, you're conscious that you're now communicating to come to some sort of a spiritual resolution of this moment and this time, and you're in the present moment. And the person says, okay, as long as you don't park on my cat again or whatever it is, you know, you're like, okay, we agree. I won't park on your cat again. And you're done. You go back and you relax and you go right back into peace. Okay. But if it goes beyond that and the person is now making it more personal. It's like, I hate you. You know, I can't stand you. I've lived next to you for blah, blah, blah. And I can't stand. I'm going to get you. I'm going to do this. And now at this point, you've got to go into the thymus. And now you're in relationship. Now your whole energy body has to say, okay, not just verbal anymore. This is like, this person is becoming a direct threat. And I need to not set a boundary yet, but I need to establish our relationship in a solid way. It's like, you know, if you have an issue, you take it up with the, you know, whatever, the condo association or the something, you know, I am unwilling to have you be abusive to me. You know, I'm more than willing to work through this with you. You know, so here's the consciousness in the present moment. How are you dealing with a stressful situation? In every one of these situations, other than the first one where you just were like, well, you know, it's, or, you know, I guess in the very first one, even the pineal gland, if that were shut down from the very first one, you could have been like, oh my God, it's a thief. Oh my God, it's a, you know, and you're already in the adrenals, right? And so then you like sneak over and look out the window and it's like, oh yeah, that he dresses as a FedEx man. You would have been nuts. But each one is designed to create heaven on earth. And so you can speak and say, look, let's work this through. Or you can say, my relationship with you, it's too important to me to lose it over this. Let's take some time. Let me go for a walk with you. Let's go see what's happening here. What's going on? I want to make this better. And you're now choosing through the relationship to come into balance again and peace. But if the person starts pushing through the door, right? And they're like, I'm kind of come get you. This is when the third chakra, now all of a sudden you're getting into the sweetness of life is no longer sweet. And the action of the third chakra is the boundary. And that's where you use the diaphragm to say, stop, you know, loud. I can't yell here. It's too late. But, you know, stop. If you come in here, you know, and you will threaten them back. Like, this is it. Next thing is actual pain. Okay. We haven't touched each other yet, but we are right on the cusp of serious action. Okay. Now, again, if you say that and say, wake up, you're not coming in here, you are not doing this, I don't know what your problem is, get out of my house and do this, and we're going to deal with this tomorrow or whatever it is. And the person's like, fuck you, and walks off. Okay. And at that point, if you don't go into your adrenals, you can go back and say, that was a fucked up thing, but I dealt with it. I dealt with it in the present moment, and I'm there. Okay. So that's what the third chakra does. Now, the person doesn't listen to you. They don't stop when you tell them to stop. And now they got a hold of you. That's the second chakra. That's the gonads. And at that point, the sexual organs, the gonads, are the ones that are going to create this battle. This is where biting, hitting with something, direct physical contact, where you are going to push that person back out of the house as fast as you can, try to avoid this conflict, do whatever you need to do, you know, to end this. And if that person starts walking in and you happen to have a golf club and you whack them with the golf club, okay, and they're like, whoa, and you're just like, if you continue forward, I'm going to kill you, because that's the adrenals. You've now set the final stage for life or death battle. Okay. And if the person is like, okay, now you're still going to call the police, you're still going to do, I mean, you probably call the police from the third chakra down. Right. But at that point, it's been a direct battery, not just assault. Assault is in the third chakra, battery is in the second chakra. And then if that person keeps coming, you have to decide, me or them. That's what the adrenals do. And you are so wired on adrenaline at that point that you either run like you've never run before, or you take that golf club and you finish the job, or you strangle them, or you do whatever you have to do to survive. And that's what your adrenals are for. Now, so that's the system. That's how it works. And at the end, after they're dead, you're like going back to peace. It might be harder after having to kill somebody to go back to peace, but ultimately that's what's the, you know, what they're designed to do. So I want you to think about in your life, how many times should your adrenals have fired?
A lot.
For some of you, it might be once or twice, but I would doubt, unless you grew up in a war zone, that your adrenals should have fired more than once or twice in your life. Now, some of you, it might be more. Certainly, those of you that got physical abuse by parents, you had a lot of second chakra, moments where you had to deal with battles, and you know, if you had a lot of that kind of wrestling and fighting and, you know, that sort of stuff. But actual adrenal energy that you were going to kill or die, how often have you actually needed to do that? You know, never. It's like never. Once, twice, maybe in your lifetime. And rare. It's even rare. So this is what you need to understand. That's how, you know, powerful the adrenals are. And from the 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old on, you have triggered your adrenals to deal with all of the other situations. Everything's a crisis. Everything's an overreaction. Everything's like, ah. And so this healing releases it all the way through. And then you practice, come down into the pineal. No problem. It's just a spiritual issue. Come down into the pituitary and hypothalamus. And you know what? I thought it through. It's fine. Ah, I spoke my truth. It leaves. So you bring the energy from here and out, here and out, here and out, here and out, the heart and out, right? The boundaries and out, the wrestling and out. And then finally you visualize, what would it be like to actually have to kill or run or survive? And then realize that that's an option, but it will never happen. It's so 10 trillion to one. It's not that it doesn't happen. It does. But if you're always on guard, because it wasn't your life that wasn't threatened, it was your soul that was threatened. It was your ego that got threatened. And you, as a child, couldn't tell the difference between you, your body, and this ego, this thing. You don't even have to understand that stuff. You just know that something happened so painful that I can always have to be on guard again. And so there's enormous numbers of diseases, Cushing disease and overworking, you know, this sort of like these hyper energy systems that we have in the world. So much illness is based on stress, and the stress is adrenal overload. So many, like, I don't know what the percentage of people, but there is a huge percentage of people in the world that live in adrenal overload and they don't even know. So this healing, anytime you're stressed at all, do this healing, because it reprograms your system. You actually reprogram your system to remember that unless someone's coming at me with a bat or a knife or a gun, this is no problem. I got this. But as long as you're automatically responding, you're already in it. You're already like, this, how dare you treat me? Ah! And they're like, wow, you're a freak show. And it's just this adrenals that have never been able to come back into balance after the traumas of self-rejection in the vows. Okay, Melody, you had a question.
Oh, that's okay, Reese. You've pretty much answered it. I was just going to ask about the, when you were talking about, you know, having that physical, you know, you're going to kill them or you're not. People right. can live on that inwardly in a battle, inwardly, and have those impulses or those thoughts still. The adrenals will still be, you know, existing in that state, if you like.
Right. And right? Interestingly, how many of you have thought about, you know, just right? killing a few people? You know, if you haven't thought about killing a few people, you're kidding. But there's a big difference. The lower self gets to entertain the idea of, oh my God, I could kill a person. But when that type of adrenal energy just gets triggered a little bit, it creates what's called anger. But when that anger is coming from a conscious place within you, it instantly turns into one of these higher states of creating a more unified state, which is your higher self. So when we talk about lower self and higher self, the lower self loves to play around with this idea of the wrestling with you and fighting with you and the visualizing and that sort of thing and having that, but not as a reality, but as a way to motivate you to make change in the world. So, but for right now, before you can get to that place where you actually use these things, just like, by the way, this is no different than profile defense, right? So you've got the enforcer, manipulator, the rule keeper, you've got the people pleaser, you've got the poor me, and you've got the thinker, right? The overthinker. All of those are pretty much terrible things to do until you do them on purpose, right? And so as you own your real power, right? Sometimes I need to be that asshole enforcer to get what I, to be real, right? But I don't need to use my adrenals to do it. I can use my third chakra to do that, right? I don't have to do it life or death for them. I don't have to do it from rage. I can do it from just pure, I want to make a change here. And other times I can be a really tough rule keeper when I need to be, when I'm conscious of doing it, rather than being a tough unconscious rule keeper, right? And I can totally people please because sometimes I'm just willing to sacrifice. So understand that until you gain the power back to make your choice around something, you can't use it in a positive way. Once you gain your choice back and power back, you can actually use all of these things appropriately in your life at the right time when the event happens, when you get called to it. Okay, it's now 3:30. I'm going to bed. And you guys are total rock stars. Have fun with this healing. It's awesome. Try it on yourself tonight. Adrenals, gonads, pancreas, thymus, thyroid, these guys in here, don't even worry about what they're named, okay? And then out the top of the head, okay? And just free yourself, just tonight, just go, I'm snapping those wires. Those guys are not going to run me anymore. I'm not going to be a reactionary person ever again. I'm just going to free myself. I'm going to deal with life as it comes to me rather than having this constant worry that something's wrong. Okay?
Thank you, Reese.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Have a good sleep.
Sleep well.
Thank you.